Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, it is Bob Pompeiani, but it is not Joe Starkey sitting across from him. And, Pomp, I hate to disappoint you, but it's Donnie Football and Bob Pompeiani with you.
No, I'm looking forward to Donnie Football. This is my my first voyage with Donnie Football. And I'm looking forward to it, Donnie.
I am, too. I mean, I say all the time, Pomp, you are on the Pittsburgh sports media, Mount Rushmore, and you're shaking your head over there. You know it's true.
No, I'm not. I appreciate that, and anything that like that that people say, it makes me feel honored. But I just do my job. I try to do the best I can and still have fun. And if you have fun at your job, you can do it for a long time, I think.
And you're pulling a double dip today because Mike Tomlin talking a little bit later than usual, 2:30, yeah. The press conference, which you always host.
Yeah, that's coming up today, later than usual, because I think they had a practice today. Yesterday, they normally have a practice on Mondays, but for whatever reason, that changed. And so he pushed everything back.
Do you think that's a Thanksgiving week thing, or do you think it's a not-so-happy-about-what-happened-last-week thing?
I don't think it's that at all. I think they did a lot of stuff with film taping, all the breakdowns yesterday, that's for sure. And I think that just took over that day, and they decided, because of all this extra time they had off, to just flip-flop and make this a practice day, which normally it is not.
Off the top, that is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Some of the stuff coming up today. We're going to react to the game last night because it certainly ties into what the Steelers are trying to accomplish. The Ravens beating the Chargers. John Harbaugh versus Jim Harbaugh, if you didn't hear it, mentioned about 50 times on the broadcast. Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette can't join us at the usual time he does on Tuesdays due to Mike Tomlin talking a little bit later, but Brian will join us in about 25 minutes from now. We'll get into the discussion about the Steelers and Russell Wilson, maybe a little bit about George Pickens. I also want to get Bob's take on some of these tip-off tournaments around college basketball, and specifically the one that the Pitt was in over the weekend. Maybe getting to some Penguins as well, because they are off to a disaster of a start.
And they
start.
Made a trade yesterday. Not the kind of trade that I think is going to make a difference.
Right.
But they made a trade.
But this from Jason Lockenfora. He joined Adam Crowley a little bit ago. So I do want to spend a few minutes on this, Bob. He said that some people inside the Steelers organization are very unhappy with Arthur Smith's play calling Thursday night in Cleveland. He also made mention that they weren't happy about the usage of Justin Fields, specifically, I think, the last usage of Justin Fields in that game, where he threw a pass, a deep pass on like third and short.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, and Crowley had the same or a similar take on this. I feel like with the way the Steelers do business, and you would know certainly better than Austin and I would know. Austin, city limits behind the glass,
as always, this morning. Tight sweatshirt hoodie. I mean, tight.
But.
Yeah, typically my hoodies are a lot bigger.
But I feel like with the way the Steelers do things, it's not like Arthur Smith is pulling this right under Mike Tomlin's nose on Thursday. Like, are you telling me that Mike Tomlin wouldn't have given the okay on putting Justin Fields out there? Like, that doesn't seem to add up to me. And plus, the comment about the play calling is like, okay, well, he didn't call a good game. Like, that was his worst game as Steelers OC. But overall, I don't think he's done a bad job this season.
No, I think some of the problems that normally exist still exist. I keep harping on the middle of the field. I think they could utilize that part of the field a lot more. I'd like to know who is unhappy, according to Jason's report. I mean, I don't know where that comes from or who it may be. I'm sure they're all unhappy with everything in that game. They should be unhappy that their defense gave up winning points when they had the lead after coming back from that. You know, there are a lot of things not to like about it, but, honestly, I think most people, not me, because I thought they would buck this trend. I thought there was so much on the line that they were going to win that game at 8-2, knowing that they get extra days off. 9-2 puts pressure on the Ravens, and if they should have lost last night, they'd have 5 losses, and now all of a sudden that lead is big. That's how much was on stake in that. But they didn't do it. They didn't win it, and I was surprised, just because I don't think Cleveland's very good. I agree with George Pickens, although I can say that he shouldn't. But, you know, there were a lot of things out there I didn't. I think they're trying to force Justin Fields, Donnie, into this, sometimes at a rate that doesn't make sense. I'm to the point now where I want to see him in a specialized package and not much more than that. I still think Russell Wilson's their best choice and best means of operating this offense as far as the pass game is concerned. He seems to light up in bigger situations, and I would not take the ball out of his hands to give it to Justin Fields for that reason.
It felt disjointed, and it sounded like, based on what Russell Wilson said after the game, it was when Justin Fields would come in, it was like neither guy had an idea that was happening. So it's almost like, I mean, you see high school teams. I mean, I've seen plenty this season. You see high school teams operate things like that more smoothly, where they sub guys in and out, because it seemed like they were very disorganized. And I get, you know, short week, whatever, but that's stuff that they should have down at this point in the season. But then Russell Wilson says after the game how, like, neither he or Justin really had an idea of who was going to be in certain situations. And that sets everybody kind of off kilter a little bit. The first play Justin Fields was supposed to be in, they get a penalty. So that's part of it, right?
The confusion or the a new cadence call or somebody in there.
Yep.
Especially that 4th-and-2 play. That's another one, because I think the clock was running down. They had to get the play off. They were a little bit unsure maybe of what they were going to do. And I thought Justin Fields went the wrong way, or something was not right on that play. So, to your point, that's one of the risks you run when you do that.
Yeah, I feel like they have to get that down. You can't be more disorganized or how it looked than it was on Thursday night. But I do still like the idea of getting Fields out there for a few plays. But to what you said, they can't really get to a point where if it feels forced, then that's not going to be good. And I feel like they kind of forced him throwing the football in a couple of situations to just show the defense, oh, he'll still throw it, because teams are going to assume when this guy comes out here, he's going to run the football or it's going to be an RPO.
Mm-hmm.
and it's usually going to be somebody with the football on the ground. It's either going to be Fields or Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren, but they threw in a couple of situations there with Fields, and we don't know how much control they give the player in that situation, but I don't know. I'm hard-pressed to think that on a third and relatively short late in the game with a chance to ice it after you were down all game that Justin Fields, of all people, decided, I'm going to throw a moon ball here. I'm just going to throw one up, and it's going to stop the clock. Cleveland won't have to use a timeout. I have a hard time thinking that he was the one that made that decision.
Yeah, I do too. But, again, that's the wrong choice at that time. If you're trying to show somebody that, look, he's in there not just because he could run, this is the wrong time to prove that point. That's a too big of a down to do it on. I just think that maybe the pendulum went a little too far with Justin Fields' usage, and I think it has to come back a little. Again, I'm not saying he shouldn't be on the field. In fact, there are times I'd like to see them both on the field with him lined up in some different position, just if for no other reason, to make them think he may get the ball. What do we do here? And it could, you know, mess around with your defensive signal call. So, to me, that was a problem, but there were a lot of problems in that game, Donnie. There really were. They started slowly again, couldn't get in, you know, down deep. They can't do anything. I didn't like the 58-yard field goal. I do like Chris Boswell from 58. That doesn't mean, but in that situation with the wind howling the way it was.
Yeah, not in those conditions.
That was a tough one because it surrendered field position as well. So there, one punt, it shanked. You know, the guy, Corliss Waitman's done a great job, really, since he's been here, and that one was the worst possible time for that to happen.
Yeah, and even after a game in which I thought Mike Tomlin had maybe his best performance of the year against the Ravens, because we give him a lot of credit when the defense does well and they bottled up Lamar Jackson again, he comes back with his worst game of the season. I think he would acknowledge that, but that's where I am worried. I guess what I anticipated coming from that game was that there would be such an overreaction to a loss. 4 days after they beat the Baltimore Ravens, who everybody has the consensus that is a Super Bowl contender, a true Super Bowl contender, and they beat that team at full strength, and Lamar Jackson looked like a scrub against the defense. They come back, they lose to the Browns, and now it's, I'm out on Tomlin, they won't win another game. Like, the overreaction is just remarkable to me, to where I'm not going to like guarantee that they win the game on Sunday, but I think people now assume they're just going to get their doors blown off. But
it's overreaction, like you said. That's what, and that's what shows like this are about. People call and vent a little bit because they think, I mean, it's really, it is a week-to-week thing in the NFL, unlike every other sport where we have games every night and you could have the other one sort of fade into the history books because you played another game the next day and the next day and the next day. This is not the case. So every game is big. I like it that way. That's why it's an attractive sport, because they're all meaningful games, which again is my point. That was a meaningful game. They should never lose to that team. And I don't think that team is very well put together, to be honest. I don't. They have some good players defensively, yes, but 2-8 with Jameis Winston as your quarterback, and not 100% healthy, I don't think, Nick Chubb. And I'm sorry, they're not as talented. Their offensive line, the Steelers should have taken advantage of that. I don't know why they didn't so much. And that's also, to me, an increasing problem. They're not putting enough pressure on quarterbacks. And if you're going to sit back and wait and say, okay, go ahead and try to figure out our zone defense, sometimes you'll get burned that way, especially with elite quarterbacks like the one they're going to face on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope that somebody brings that up today around 2:30 and questions, you know, why aren't we seeing more creative blitz packages?
Blitz.
Because
Minka blitz out of nowhere, or Beanie Bishop blitz, or somebody blitz.
So they did it, from what I recall, only like two or three times against Cleveland, and the two times that I remember, it worked. The first time, Landon Roberts came in pretty delayed, but he laid a good hit on Winston. He got a throw off, but I think it was just an incomplete, you know, pass out in the flat. And then the second time was Patrick Queen, and that led to the like confusion with the, is it intentional grounding? Then it was illegal touching.
And he came in quickly, and that's what happens when you do that. You throw things off.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're just, I think, so, I don't want to say content, but it's like, okay, well, we'll just trust that TJ will get it done. Well, he doesn't always. Like, you got double teams. You got guys chip blocking him, whatever, and he'll have a quiet game like that, and look what happens. It leaves you very vulnerable on the back end. Plus, Alex Highsmith wasn't in the game, and he's proving, I think, by injury to be even more valuable than what we had thought. But they have to mix it up there. They have to be more creative when they're coming after the quarterback, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because you want guys to be able to make plays. And sometimes when you force mistakes, a perfect example is what you described, that play with Winston. That should have been grounding. I thought it had, when it happened, I said, there's a flag, it's grounding, lost it down, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, all the intervention from, I don't know if it's the replay assist, if it's whatever's going on there, and they decided because it hit that offensive lineman or whatever, then it's an illegal touch. That leads to another decision, though. We had this discussion yesterday with Joe, at 4th and 2 versus 3rd and 7. Me, personally, I might have gone 4th and 2. I don't want to give them an extra down. If you give 2 downs knowing where they are, I think that's a little bit more risky, to me at least, than one play. And if they're going to go for it probably on both situations. So what would you have done in that situation?
See, I actually didn't fault Tomlin there for doing that, because he was able to move them back, and in the back of your mind there, you're thinking, okay, if we can get a stop here, it goes from 3rd and 7 to 4th and 7, or maybe they only get a yard or two, it's 4th and 6 or 4th and 5 instead of 4th and 2. And that was just me, I think, feeling, well, this team has been perfect in short yardage 4th downs all game. They were 4 for 4. So maybe that was almost me living in the fear of, if they have another 4th and short, I don't have confidence that the Steelers can stop them there. That was one of the errors by Mike Tomlin, though, that I didn't fully blame him for.
Well, again, I'm not blaming. I just think it's a choice you make, and it didn't work, because immediately they left Jerry Jeudy wide open, which is stunning to me how that happens. He was making some plays pretty much all game long, he and Joku, and you know that guy's always going to do it. But anyway, it sets the stage for a very interesting next 2 weeks, because they have both Cincinnati and Cleveland, and you know, with Baltimore winning, and that, I'll tell you what, I was impressed with Baltimore. I don't know about you, but I was. I thought, without Roquan Smith, you know, we went into that game in Pittsburgh, a lot of people said, that's a terrible defense. And I think they're making a mistake with Cincinnati saying the same thing. I think Cincinnati has a better defensive unit than you think. I think there are circumstances that dictate what happens in games. You know, they're gambling a lot because they've fallen behind. They come back. It's been a weird year for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I would, you know, you got the NFL's leading sack guy on that team. And then, you know, Joe Burrow. Need I say more? He's going to score points. They better be able to keep up with that.
The fan text line, you can hit us up on there as well at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, I'm happy you kind of transitioned us there into what happened last night, because that game, it went as I sort of expected it to go, even with the Ravens being shorthanded without one of their best defensive players. I thought that they would bounce back. I feel like that's a moment for them when they get to play in prime time, when Lamar Jackson gets to play in prime time. He will take advantage and remind everybody how good of a player he is. He's going to vault right back into the MVP discussion with that game. So they beat the Chargers 30-23, but it wasn't really that close. It was a two-score game late, and L.A. scored. John Harbaugh now 3-0 over Jim Harbaugh, by the way. And that win put the Ravens at 8-4. So now they're just a half game back of the Steelers in the AFC North. But something else I'll take out of that game is that beyond how the standings look, I don't feel all that differently, I guess, about either of those teams. Because, you know, the Steelers always manage to bottle up Lamar Jackson, and, you know, credit to Mike Tomlin and the defense for every time they match up. We knew the Ravens, we didn't have to watch last night to know how explosive the Ravens' offense was. And then the Chargers, I think, good team. I don't think team I'm afraid of necessarily. I know when the Steelers played them, Justin Herbert was hurt and he ended up leaving the game. The Steelers knocked him out of the game in the third quarter. But they still look about the same as what I kind of pictured them. It wasn't, if they would have gone into last night and let's say they beat the Ravens by two touchdowns, then I think a lot of people are turning their eyes and thinking Jim Harbaugh has this team ready for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they would have been 8-3. But the one thing that, if I'm looking at their team, I'm a little surprised by their defense. I thought their defense coming into 2 weeks ago was a really elite defense. Now, not so much. I think they've been a little bit of exposed for that. I think anytime you deal with a quarterback like Herbert, he's dangerous. He is. And it could be a one-game situation. He gets really hot. Look out. But their defense is not what I thought it might be, at least the last couple of weeks. I think Baltimore is sitting in a really good spot. They have a late bye, which I always, when I look at that situation, I would prefer as late in the season as possible to give me a bye. I know you can't control it based on how the scheduling comes out, but week 14 for them, they're banged up a little bit too, and you give them a bye. I have one game, and that's a big game against Philadelphia, then a bye, then the Giants and the Steelers. You know, if they win the Eagles game, all of a sudden now you're looking at the Giants. They're going to be 10-4 coming in that game with Pittsburgh. So the Steelers better take care of business against both Cincinnati and Cleveland. I even think 1-1's not very good in this situation. I think they got to win both, but I think it's going to be hard on Sunday.
And you think they're going to be getting fresh with a running back who, by league standards, is old. A running back that's 30. But Derrick Henry, he's already been great. He's been, maybe besides Saquon Barkley, right, the best running back in football this year. At the age of 30, you give him a late bye, and then he's all galloped up and ready to go for the playoffs. Like last night, it felt like a ho-hum game for Derrick Henry. He still had 24 for 140. Like,
that's how good that dude is. After contact, too. I mean, he sheds people away, man. He just, you get off my back. You know, runs, swats him away, keeps going. He's capable of doing what Barkley does, which is, and this is saying something because he's older, he can break those 50-yard touchdown runs. He can break an 80-yard touchdown run. Normally a guy that size, 247, I think he's listed as, you ain't going to run 90 yards and outrace defensive backs, but he can. So that's a tough assignment.
Yeah, he's built and he has the speed unlike really almost any other player that we've seen in the league. I mean, that's just how good I think he is. Now, of course, Steeler fans, given the recency, they'll jump on that because they mostly bottled up Derrick Henry. He fumbled on the second play of the game. Like, they had a game plan for the Ravens to face them defensively, and it certainly worked. But the schedule thing that you bring up there, and it's sometimes harder than we make it seem to look beyond and, you know, project what will really happen, because all of these games, when it comes down to it, like, they are – and I think the Browns game is a good example. You can be a better team in every statistical category. You can have better position groups all over the field than your opponent, and it just does not matter sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like the Browns game was a good example. We saw the Titans beat the Texans on Sunday. We saw the Cowboys beat the Commanders on Sunday. Like that, those things happen in the NFL, but there has to be some worry with Joe Burrow down the pike here in just a few days, given how he has looked. And you say the Bengals defense better than they get credit for. I'd probably agree, given the history that Lou Anarumo has with those guys. Mm-hmm. And we've seen them play well in big games, playoff games, on the way to a Super Bowl a few years back. So, yeah, are they among the NFL's elite? No, but they're not just going to lie down. Like, that's a defensive
group
that can still make plays.
Just as you just said, Don. Should I call you Austin?
I'm getting old.
Instead of Austin? No, I can't. No, I got to call him Fred now. All of a sudden, Joe's gone wild.
Bread.
What?
Bread, he called me. How about that, Donnie?
Because of the Wonder Bread, isn't that what he said?
That's what he claimed.
Twin Wonder Bread.
No, what was I going to say now? Regarding, what were we talking about?
I threw myself off
by calling you Don.
The Bengals and their desperation.
Well, that's what I said. You just said about all these teams that won on Sunday. A lot of them are desperate teams. Desperate teams are difficult teams to deal with. Cincinnati's had a year in which I can make an argument that instead of 4-7, they should be 7-4. They have games that have been, I thought, taken away from them. The Kansas City game was one they should have won. It was a mm-hmm. terrible call, or at least one I didn't think was worthy of a call. They called on P.I. Mahomes somehow escapes there. And there have been others that they're very much in game. So I don't look at them as a 4-7 football team, and neither should the Steelers. I don't think they will. I think they realize what they're dealing with here with Burrow and Chase and all the weapons they have. So that's a big game. A desperate team is a dangerous team. I happen to think Cleveland's going to get their butts handed to them the next time they come here.
Yeah, see, that's one where I don't want to get out over my skis, but I do think when I heard people say, I don't think the Steelers will win another game, it's like, well, I do think they're going to get the Browns the second time around.
Oh, they'll get them good, I think.
I think they're going to make sure that they don't look past that one again.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.